Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Good afternoon and welcome.
Hi and welcome.
It
just now flipped on. Thank you. So welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Wednesday, October 29th, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart. We are now in Williamston, Michigan, on our way to begin the intensive that starts on Friday. I've actually am blessed. My niece, who I haven't seen in about 2 years, is on her way to the intensive as well. And so we're going to get to reconnect with her, and it'll be her first taste of this work at depth, which is pretty awesome. And we've got a small, intense group that'll be joining us. We'll start Friday night with a 9-day codependence to interdependence. And in that workshop, we'll be doing all kinds of deep, intense personal work. It's going to be a particularly small group. We had scheduled this some time ago, and it's the first time we've done an intensive up in this direction. So it's going to be a small group, and there'll be some very intense personal attention for everybody because of the size of the group. And knowing some of the people that are going to be there and the work that they've already done, I'm looking forward to an awesome experience. If anyone is ready to join us and you want to crank your process up to the next level, we'll actually be in a little town called Pinckney, Michigan, about an hour out of Lansing, Michigan. We've got this beautiful place called White Lodge. It's a beautiful big community center, actually, in a community there on a lake, big colonial pillars, and we've got just an awesome space for doing this intensive. There's about 40 acres of wooded land around it for hiking and nature walks and that sort of thing. There'll be time in the intensive for that kind of personal, getting out and exploring, as well as we'll move into, of course, the first century Aramaic forgiveness process. Why is this happening to me again? We'll step into a worksheet that we do on how is your healing going to look? What's it going to look like when you start really moving through things? And then we'll tap into the workshop Healing Through Relationships. And, of course, this is all in a process format. If you've been to one of our workshops previously, when we do it in the evening, a short 2.5-hour workshop, you'll notice that that we do that in an information format. We give the best information we've got. If you've watched our DVDs, here it is. This is the best we've got. Now, during the intensive, what we're going to do is we're going to jump in and we're going to start to do process work. We're going to start to stir things and move things and demonstrate the use of the tools. So that will start on Friday. The final segment that we'll do will be codependence to interdependence. And that's a mind-boggling workshop that's really, truly postgraduate work on relationship. And looking at the issue of what I call relationship substitution, the pseudo-solutions and the non-being mind, the power person dynamic, how to spot your own power person dynamics. We'll be doing lots of work in that workshop around power person dynamics. And usually it's mom or dad. And something that's really important to understand in the whole process that we're talking about is that your so-called body, your mind, and your emotions are not physical. There's no such thing as physical. You know, I start the workshop out talking about Einstein, where he says that such things as matter, we have been all wrong. What we have heretofore called matter is energy, energy whose vibrations have been so lowered as to be perceptible to the senses. There is no matter. So matter doesn't exist. When you think a thought, you know, you go to the opening words of the book of John, and it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh, at least according to the Greeks. But in the Aramaic, it's not what it says. What it says is, in the beginning is the mind energy, or the willed action, and the mind energy or willed action becomes flesh. Let's forward 2,000 years, and let's listen to the cell biologist Bruce Lipton, and what Bruce is saying is that when you think a thought, that thought produces a neuropeptide. Candace Pert, former director of National Institute of Mental Health, when you think a thought, the thought turns into a molecule in your body. And that molecule, called a neuropeptide, circulates around your structure until it finds a cell with a receptor site that matches, and then it inserts itself into the cell. And what the insert looks like in the cell is chemistry. And it's not chemistry, it's energy. And so when you recognize there's an ancient, what they call a commandment. And it's interesting because when you recognize the mindset that these things came from in Aramaic, they're not about what some authority in the sky wants you to do. They are physics, they are physiology, they are psychology, they are genetic instructions. Here's how the system works. So there's a commandment that says, at least the Greeks tell us, honor thy father and thy mother. And many people say, well, why would I do such a thing? My parents were so terrible. They were so vicious. They were vile. They were, you know, trauma-inducing. And to the person who would say that, why would I honor my parents when they were vile and trauma-inducing, is you, above all else, must learn to honor your father and your mother if you want to heal. You'll notice that the second part of that statement that says, honor thy father and thy mother, says that 5 days belong upon the earth. Now, how does this all tie together? How did they know? What does that mean? Well, if you bought into, let's say, parents who were vile and vicious and trauma-inducing, then you bought into a lot of thoughts that created much, much pain within your structure. And because usually it's parents, not always it's a power person, but usually it's parents, and this is a dynamic we'll look at in the power person dynamic, those thoughts were based on experiences with your power person, usually, again, father and mother. Those thoughts are literal, what we call chemicals within your cells. If the thoughts are based in disintegrative energy and hostility, fear, rage, guilt, and grief, and you go near your parents, notice that hate, fear, anger, rage, guilt, and grief starts to resonate, comes to the surface. So most people who had traumatic relationships with their parents say, and I stay away from them because they're so painful to be around. Excuse me, they are not painful to be around, but if you've got a lot of pain, the experts at resonating that pain in you will be your parents. And so when it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth, that word honor in Aramaic is akin to the instruction that was given for all people, but a little different, a little higher standard. So the instruction, and I've had people tell me how ridiculous it is to follow somebody who would dare to say such a stupid thing, and that is, love thy neighbor and the creator as thyself. Greek interpretation, again, let's go back to the Aramaic. Yeshua never said anything about loving your neighbor or the creator or yourself in that context. What he said was, your obligation, if you want to have a human life, is that you keep a condition in your mind that is a gateway for your human life, for love to come into your physiology. You keep that open when you think of the creator, when you think of neighbor, and neighbor's anybody that you think about, and then instead of, and do that as you do to yourself, what it says in Aramaic is, in order to maintain yourself. So this LACMA is a filter in the frontal lobes of the brain that, number one, keeps the mind on track with love. Why would I want to keep my mind on track with love? This is a vicious world. Hate and fear is what helps me to survive. Excuse me. If you're capable of hate and fear, your cells are dying. Your diseases are growing. It's time to get rid of those things. So what Yeshua is saying in that passage is about physiology. And of course, you can't understand it if you can't get the words right. So let's go back and start at the beginning. What is a human life? Hold a newborn child, you know exactly and precisely what a human life is. Now, LACMA, the word that was used as love, creator, neighbor, self, LACMA is that filter, and it is the gateway into which human life enters. So you hold a newborn child and you know about this awesome presence of love, and what Yeshua is saying is, you keep the gateway open for this awesome presence of love to be in your physiology 24/7, 365. And when you do, you start to heal. So what he's saying is, now that's the command. That's the one that says for creator, neighbor, in order to maintain self. This commandment that says honor thy father and thy mother takes the whole game to a new level. You're only required to keep this condition of LACMA in your mind for everybody on the planet, except the people who, if you're in trauma, probably implanted your trauma to you genetically. So honor in that context means I hold this condition of LACMA in my mind, and then the next level of it is I now do behavior toward them. Everybody else on the planet, you know, when it says, what's the first law? Well, the first law is you love God, neighbor, self. So have LACMA for the creator, neighbor, in order to maintain self. It has nothing to do with the creator or the neighbor. It's got to do with how you maintain your human life. That's the requirement. No behavior required toward anybody. But if the people who implanted your trauma are in your field, then your trauma is going to resonate. If you can bring active love into behavior toward them, honor them, no matter how much of a disaster they were, and the more of a disaster they were, the more disease there is within your genes and within your cells, if you can honor them and bring this active presence of love forward toward them, then by that active presence of love passing through your cells to them, it will dissolve the neuropeptides that produce the chemicals in the cell that create your pain and your trauma. And guess what? Your days get longer on the earth. It's just, you know, when you start to see it from the Aramaic perspective and you recognize what this teaching was really about, it's really about how to live truly as a human being and how to extend your own lifespan and to live in a space of cellular, emotional, mental, and physical, financial, and relationship delight and aliveness. That was what Yeshua's instruction was about. It was not about some sort of religious dogma and doctrine. He's saying, here's how you get to live a human life, folks. And the understanding of those tools that comes across from the Aramaic, when you get back to the first century meanings of the words. Now, you're not going to get them out of 6th century meaning or 10th century or 20th century meanings of those words. You have to go back to the first century, and that's what the foundation that holds the Kabbalist manuscript has been working on for decades, to get back to the first century meanings of the words, understand them in context. And now, what do I do if I stand in front of the parent that was trauma-inducing for me? I bring the active presence of love, which begins to dissolve my trauma, forward into my mind and my physiology, and I get the gift, perhaps for the first time in my life, of being in the presence of my parents and experiencing love. If I do that, I will begin to dissolve the neuropeptides associated with the trauma I experienced with them. When I remove and dissolve, forgive, which is what that means, when I forgive those traumatic energies, those neuropeptides, I recapture them, I bring them forward to conscious awareness, and I let them go, my cells are freed from disease, and my days get to be longer and earlier. Oh, how awesome is that? So this man who taught this 2,000 years ago, he's not an easy dude to follow. He says, you know, he's got some pretty tough standards, and it's not about any religious idea whatsoever. It's just about, here's how the world works, folks. Here's the skinny of it. If you're in pain, if you're in turmoil, you're in trauma, you have a problem. Well, no, Michael, I don't have a problem. It's my spouse that has a problem. I don't have a problem, Michael. It's my boss that has a problem. I don't have a problem, Michael. It's my child. They're the one. My three-year-old, that's the one who's causing all this pain in me. And to that, I, in the class, always offer a little ditty that goes, liar, liar, pants on fire. We're taught lies. And when we're... Thank you, sweetie. I just got some words. When we're functioning out of those lies, then we don't function as human beings. We function as something less than human. It was a first century rabbi, and I have to memorize his name because it's such an awesome thing. First century BC. And here's what this rabbi says. In a world where there is no human life, we must each strive to be human. Yes, his directive was, strive to be human, maintain the active presence of love. That is human life. If you give that up, then you have lost your human life. Maintain the active presence of love so that you function as a human, 24/7, 365. When we can get a core number of people, a critical mass of people who are actually willing to do that, then we're going to see such monumental and massive change in the world that we're not going to recognize the world for the way it is today. So that's what we're here to do, and that's what I'm excited about and what we're going to get to do this starting off tomorrow night in the codependence to interdependence. So that kind of gives you the power person dynamic and where we'll be going with the forgiveness process. Of course, we'll also be doing this awesome fresh and raw food. And we thank Carrie Ellis. You've heard Carrie on the show many times. And Carrie has this book, The 21st Century Superhuman, which in part she has integrated this work into her book. It's an awesome piece of work that she's done. And I really acknowledge her and Teddy for what they've put together. And especially Carrie, because Carrie, having written a book, and I wrote a little book compared to yours, but what you've done is monumental. And so we acknowledge you for that. And we are most appreciative of the fact that you're coming and you're going to help us to do the fresh and raw food this weekend or through this next 9 days. And a surprise to many people when they look at the dietary regimen that we do in intensive is we don't eat anything that doesn't come from the ground. Nothing from a package, nothing from a can. Nothing from a box, nothing pre-prepared. It's just plain actual food. And it's all going to be served fresh and raw, and you're going to be shocked if you come to the intensive because we're going to do things like portobello burgers. We're going to do things like spaghetti and meatballs. We're going to do nut loafs that will knock your socks off. We have dyed-in-the-wool meat eaters that come to an intensive and say, on the fourth day, they're like, well, I thought I'd be eating carrots and lettuce, and I just can't imagine how to do this food at home. But if I could, I would never eat a dead animal again. The food is so fulfilling and so satisfying. And so that's what we'll be doing with food, and we're delighted, Carrie, that you're coming to support us and assist us in that. And I'm so excited about getting to do this intensive. And, again, if anybody wants to join us, let us know. And beyond that, Dr. Kim, are you with us today, sir?
I am.
Awesome.
I am.
How do you be? What's exciting in your world?
Well, there are a few things that are exciting. One of them is we had our usual Tuesday night Mindshifter support group last night. And we had a couple new people there who'd never been there before. And we had somebody who got introduced to the work when you were here a couple months ago. And she'd been missing for a while, and she came back, and she did a worksheet that started out with the emotion of fear and an upset level that was on a scale of 0 to 10. Through her tears, she said it was at least an 11. And we were there holding the space for her and breathing with her and going through the worksheet process slowly so as to explain it for the two people who had never been there before. And at the end of the worksheet, her upset level was less than one. She called it a 0.5. And she was laughing, and there were no more tears. And she was pretty confused about why she felt so much better, because she didn't have any deep logical connection to the insight she had. But she did have a very vivid picture of something from way back in the, you know, library of her mind, and she wasn't really sure what year it was or who was there. So it was a very wonderful, as usual, a very wonderful group, very deep process, a couple brand new people exposed to the work. And so that was exciting. And then I've been working with people again this morning, and that's exciting. And then tomorrow night, we get to start our first Thursday night Mind Shifters group. So that's exciting. So we have all kinds of things that are exciting here.
Fabulous and awesome. Well, we have another support group that's going to start next Wednesday here in the Lansing area. It's on the other side of town from the group that Rex and Tony and Michelle and Mitzi are doing. And so that's pretty exciting. We did a workshop that we had just set up a few days ago in a place called the I Am Center. And so anybody in the Lansing area that wants to participate in that support group, you would do well to just jump on. Well, I guess we don't have it on the website yet. That was just put forward last night when we finished the workshop. New location we've never been at before. That they're going to start a support group next week. So that's pretty exciting. And I'm delighted and excited that your new support group is starting. And look forward to hearing how that unfolds.
Yeah, we have people in our Tuesday night group that are anxious for it to get going, so I can bring that video back to the Tuesday night group, because many of them haven't been exposed to that Mayan calendar lecture, which really does a fabulous job of helping people question some of the most basic beliefs and dogmas. So we're looking forward to that, and excited about being able to work with these tools. And I once again today, right before the show, I finished a session with somebody who, when we first started out, the thought at the top of the worksheet, he went into absolute physical panic. And at the end of the process, when we asked him to think about that same thought, he burst into laughter. So these tools have a tremendous power to change the internal experience and the process in life. So
let me ask an offhanded question there, Tim. The gentleman who touched into that thought that was in total physical panic when he first started and then was able to laugh at it. And I know that he was able to laugh at it because love was brought forward. Was it by any chance, was he able to identify it as a power person dynamic?
We had been, prior to that work, we have talked about that, so that he uses his mother's first name and says, I know this is just a mom's first name issue. And so he knows that his power person dynamics are activated on a regular basis. And he watches for them, and he uses the tools when they come up.
Fabulous. Well, pretty exciting times, and the expansion I'm really feeling and seeing. A new level of comprehension with the work in the places that we've spoken so far this year, including, of course, being over there in Woodstock. There's certainly a new level happening, which to me really reflects the fact that critical mass is getting closer and closer. And so I'm looking for it to happen this year, for it to be this tour that that opens and everybody that's tapping in, you know, Rex is doing deeper and deeper levels of work with people. Mitzi introduced us last night and spoke about the power she experienced from actually, after years of being familiar with the work, but not really using it, how when she started to use it, that's when things really started to shift for her. And so it's just, it's exciting, more and more people. And then the fellow who runs the IM Center we spent last night at the end of the workshop, we just met him last week, and he invited us down, so we, you know, scheduled that on just a few days' notice, and we ended up with, I don't know, 35 or so people there. And at the end of it, he's announced, I'm going to start a support group. I'm ready to go for this. So it's just pretty cool to watch how it's expanding and how it's moving. And it'd be cool to hear what kind of a shift happens in your process when you're doing two support groups a week and all the other work you're doing. And you're certainly appreciated the fact that you picked up that show and were able to support us the other day is awesome. And we are most appreciative.
It's an honor.
All right. Well, anything else to share? Any patterns to say to share before we check on the phone presence?
No, I feel complete for now.
Awesome. Well, let's say hello. I don't know if Michelle is on, but she often listens in the chat room, but isn't on the call. But if Michelle happens to be there, it'd be fun to hear Michelle's report. She came over to Grand Rapids just, I think, all but one night. So we did 7 days of workshops in Grand Rapids, and she came over for the Mind Shifters Institute Breathing on Saturday. And she's been there every night while we did 7 days at Unity in Lansing. And then the additional workshop, she was there on Sunday for Codependence, and there Monday night at the Fellowship for Today for a Course in Miracles lesson, and then last night. So if Michelle has some doubt, maybe she's sharing this a little bit about what she's seeing.
She is on. She doesn't have her hand up, so I'm not sure if she's got a client and maybe can't talk. So while we're waiting to see if she presses one, we do have a caller. Okay, great.
Let's say hello to our caller.
Area code 314, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Darlene from St. Louis. I've called in before.
Hey there, young lady. Welcome. How can we support
you? Well, I have some questions about PowerPerson. And I definitely would identify my mother as a PowerPerson. And she has Alzheimer's. And I really appreciate you talking about honor thy mother and thy father, because as I became introduced to this work, that's what I've primarily been working on. And when I'm in her presence, I feel love, I feel peace, I feel, you know, like just like you described, like having a relationship with my mother that I never had growing up. My problem is that I'm separated from her, and by distance. I live, you know, in a different state, thousands of miles away, and my negative emotions that come up are from not being able to get closer to her because of my job and family and distance and finances and things like that. And the other thing that I noticed is that when I have this grief and pain and negative feelings about that distance, I am also projecting that onto a romantic relationship that I was in. I have the same feelings. And I was just wondering if you could kind of comment on that and how to separate those, because I see and get that it's projection, but I can't separate it.
Well, let me take just kind of a wild offhanded guess on this power person game. And when you identify your mom as your power person, when the stress is up and the chips are down, what do you do?
When the stress is up and the chips are down, I typically feel kind of victimized. You know, I tend to get really low. I'm sorry, what?
I didn't quite hear the word. I didn't hear the word you said. I tend to feel.
Oh, to go into feeling really victimized, like I fold inward. I go inward, and you know, I don't outwardly get angry. you know, but I just kind of fold in on myself, get depressed, beat myself up.
So how easy do you suppose it is, and this is how power person dynamics tend to play out, how easy do you suppose it is in your romantic relationship for your partner to get close to you when you're there?
Not at all.
But notice then the issue you have projected with mom is your pain is about not being close enough. Now, let's go back and look at another level of it. This is, you know, how we would process in an intensive thing. So if you go back and look at, you know, first of all, if you go into that kind of internal mode and withdraw, you do that
right. Probably
because it's your power person dynamic. That's what your mom did. So notice that your mom is not in her normal persona and in the withdrawal mode that she was in her earlier life and your earlier life. But if you go back to being 5 years of age, how did it feel when your mother withdrew and you couldn't get close to her?
Really scary.
So there's, so now let's look at our definition of denial and look at it at the subtlest levels, because this is the one of the biggest keys is when I say, you know, I'm in this suffering mode because I can't get close to my mother because she's, you know, thousands of miles away and I don't have the money and
Right.
Notice that that's totally and completely denial.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, remember our definition of denial is when I think, and maybe you could hit your mute button there, your phone's a little noisy, or somebody's is.
Okay.
When
you
can just mute, and then when you're ready to speak again, I'm mute. So when I think a thought that something outside of me is the cause of something inside of me, what is caused from inside of me, I am now cut off from. I'm dissociated from it. So notice that your language is that because mom is so far away, I can't get close to her and I have pain. And my offering is that you don't have pain because your mother's thousands of miles away and you can't get close to her. You have pain because you have pain. And as a child, scary and pain was what came up in when your mother went into high stress levels and did exactly the dynamic that you're doing, having learned it from her. And so when you can let go of the denial and the dissociation, then what will happen is, and this is probably going to be pretty heavy duty, and that's one of the reasons for the intensives, is to create a space where these really heavy duty energies can come forward. So when you drop the denial and you really allow yourself to experientially touch into, God, it was so scary and so painful when I watched my mother go into stress and withdraw. And, you know, what kind of emotions are there? The grief, the rage, the hate, the fear, you know, whatever those dynamics are. And I don't know, of course, specifically for you, but whatever those dynamics are, when you start experientially facing those in yourself without the denial and dissociation story, then you'll realize that you're feeling those feelings because they're in you. They were in your mother. They're in you. And so when they're triggered by your partner, if you can't own them, you can't heal them. And that is how people destroy relationships, by not being able to own what's going on inside. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask you to repeat that last part. It kind of broke up on me there.
Okay. So the way that I stay dissociated from what I don't want to heal and feel because it's too traumatic, you know, a three-year-old, and, you know, there's the source of my life. There's my survival mom. And 5 minutes ago, she was there. You know, she was holding me. She was nurturing me. And I don't know what happened when she got that phone call from dad. But what I got was rage, and she just disappeared. Mom was gone, and I was alone, and that was horribly frightening and horribly painful. And I'm really, you know, in order to keep from feeling that, you know, that was the point where I went into, well, it was a little late for me. It wasn't the terrible twos. It was the terrible threes. And I had all this rage. And so to be able to see that that's the dynamic. And when those thoughts and feelings are triggered into activity in your intimate relationships, if you stay in denial, and denial would probably look like, well, you know, partner, when you said that you were going off to that football game and didn't even invite me, I felt really, you know, isolated from you and alone. And you know, when you do that to me, you really cause me a lot of pain. Once again, that's denial. And so to move, and words tell your mind how to build your reality. So the words of denial tell my mind, you have to hide this root of pain from me that comes from my early childhood and that my mother experienced and probably my grandmother and her mother before her. You have to hide this from me and show me a picture that it's about whoever I'm looking at right now. So in the context of relationship, when you give your mind different directions, and the directions might look like, you know, honey, when you said you were going to that football game and didn't even invite me, didn't even check out whether I might want to go, what came up for me was a really familiar old feeling of you're disappearing, you're not paying attention to me, and I feel isolated and alone and afraid. And when I can communicate that way, and sometimes I'll have a spouse or a significant other who will be able to hold the space for that and go, well, gee, you know, that certainly is different than what I intended, but let's do a worksheet. Let's process. Let's do some still point breathing on that, and let's let that one go. Then you've got support for it. But if you say the way our culture has taught us to communicate, when I use projection communication, you know, you really made me afraid when you said you were going to that game and you were leaving me behind and didn't invite me. And, you know, I just felt so isolated, and you just make me feel so isolated every time you do something like that. Then I can't directly access the part of me that's hiding. What I need to do, and of course, takes the space of support. It takes doing a significant amount of work. That's why in the intensives we stir these things to get them to come up experientially and energetically right here, right now, in the real moment, where there is a whole space of support and active love that can be dissolved. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. And I've actually done one of the exercises. It wasn't a worksheet, but I did the mind shifter where you do the two columns. And I did it on my house, and why I can't maintain my house, which, of course, is a projection of myself as well. And another component of my history is that I was adopted at birth. And I think, and there was a time period before I was in my adopted home, and I went back to actually the experience of being in my crib and crying and not getting attention and just basically dying, like just giving up. And so I did experience that.
Well, that's pretty awesome that you're that willing to peel those layers away. And, you know, there's lots of research that shows that the child is making decisions even while still in the womb. And that would reinforce, you know, the whole, you know, this is the pattern that you're really looking at seeing playing out in your relationship with your mom today, seeing playing out in relation with your relationships is, you know, if at birth mom, whatever was going on for her, wasn't available. And, you know, those first moments of life, it's meant to be skin-to-skin contact and this really powerful presence of love. And if mom wasn't available, you know, and I don't know what happened with your birth mom. Was she sick, or, you know, was she an alcoholic, or, you know, what was going on that she wasn't available to be mom? But the child makes decisions genetically induced that will tend to play out. Oh, my God, what's wrong with me? Why do I get isolated? Why am I left alone? And then,
right,
you know, then you, through resonance, are drawn to a foster mother who, when her stress is up and the chips are down, withdraws and isn't available.
Right.
So, you know, the beat goes on until we
allow ourselves to go to those dissociated energies and remove them, they'll tend to govern our lives. And it sounds like you've got a big opening and are moving powerfully in that direction. That's awesome.
Yeah, and I was
able to go to that level on their own.
Yeah, well, I was also encouraged that you talked about Bruce Lipton, because I've never heard his name mentioned before. And about 2 weeks ago, I was driving down to Arkansas to see my son, and I went to the library to get a book on tape, and it was Bruce Lipton. Yeah.
Sounds like you're right in tune and right on track. That's awesome.
Yeah. I would be interested in some support groups locally, and I guess that information is online. Is that correct?
Yeah. The you know Suzanne Tucker?
I don't, no. Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, I would suggest you go to mybobbymanuel.com. Suzanne's been doing our work for over 20 years, and rearing her children in the principles of this work and working with mothers especially and fathers around their dynamics with their children and supporting them. So she's got several events going on. So I'd suggest if you go to mymommymanual.com and you drop her a note. My Mommy Manual, that's the name of her book.
Manual?
Mm-hmm.
.com. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
And like a manual for raising babies, My Mommy Manual.
Right.
And how to function as a conscious mom, as opposed to the dynamics of the culture of, you know, hostility and fear and an unconscious mom. So that's her focus, but she's doing some great work with people. And we're looking at probably, I'm not sure yet, sometime in June, maybe coming back and doing a full week of workshops in St. Louis on our way back to Heartland when we finish the tour. So if you keep an eye on our website, you'll know when that happens. And if you're not on our mailing list, then you might want to just jump on our website and tap in and put yourself on the mailing list so you'll be kept posted.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for doing the work very much.
Thank you for doing your work. That's what it takes. So that's awesome. That's part of what you're doing is a huge contribution to creating critical mass, and that's what we're working to do. So any other way we can support you? Anything else to share?
No, I think that's a good next step is to check out that website because my children are not really open to this concept. And so I do feel very unsupported and kind of like I'm alone in my circle of surrounding family, et cetera.
So notice that's your core issue. Oh, I'm feeling alone and unsupported.
Exactly.
Then you'll find some powerful support, I'm sure.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Anyway, we hold the space, and we're delighted to hear from you. And as your process unfolds, please feel free to call into the show and open your questions. And we're just delighted and blessed to have the conversation with you.
Okay. Thank you much.
All right, take care. Blessings. Bye-bye. Great questions. Awesome. That's a gift for everybody. Dr. Tim, do you have anything to share in regard to those questions?
Well, just that it's I think it just highlights for people how powerful it can be for us to tap into the power person dynamic and then use it as a way to uncover what the next worksheet or the next mind shifter might be. And the more I can see the pattern in different relationships in my life, the more I can see how I'm there every time. And however it began, maybe even generations ago, I'm the one enacting it now, and within me is the source of the resolution. I carry with me the key to this dissolution of the pattern. So I love listening when you have somebody call in live like that and we get to see over and over again, even to the very last statement she was making, there it is. I don't have any support groups around me. My children aren't supporting me in this work. I feel unsupported. There's the power person dynamic again. And some people might get overwhelmed at that thought, and my encouragement is, see it as the gift. And the gift is the realization, oh, I'm the one who's there every time. I'm carrying the seed of this, or the cause of this pattern in me today, and if I interrupt it here at its cause, it unravels it both ways, to the future for my children, and in the past, it opens the energy pathway for people in my bloodline to release some of their energy and trauma around this. So that's my input.
And for me, Dr. Tim, to hear from an individual, and Darlene, we again appreciate your call, that is reaching that level of comprehension and work on your own is amazing. Few people can do that. So I acknowledge your willingness and your integrity with using the tools. And again, we're delighted to support you, and thanks for being a model in the world that opens this space. Jeannie, do you have anything to share, Darlene?
No, that was excellent, though. That was awesome. There was a 517 number had their hand up, but now they've disappeared off. Michelle's still on there, but she doesn't have her hand up either, so I don't know if that means she's tied up and busy, so I'm not going to turn her on unless she presses 1. So we don't have anybody else with their hand up, and I told Peacemaker, he's out there holding the chat room down. I said, multitasking and not doing much chatting out there. He's holding the fort down. So Michelle did hold her hand up, and also the 517 numbers held their hand up now. So Michelle, you're on.
Before we say anything, Michelle, I'd like to just say hello to Peacemaker and say we're just delighted that everything came through with your challenges. With flying colors, and that you're healthy and well and rock and roll and continue to hold the space with us. Thank you. Michelle, what's up for you, young lady?
Hey, dear. I am down in the Detroit area right now, driving back to Lansing, and there might be a lot of road noise, but Harry's in the car with me, and it was interesting when you had spoken originally about honoring the parents. You know, that's my favorite Aramaic topic and the practice I am most focused on healing. And to that end, the reason I'm down in Detroit is I was delivering a birthday present for my brother to take over to my mom's house when you were thinking about you, Dr. Tim, because it was Halloween last year when I sent the last present, and it worked through the process. And what I was noticing today is I'm less emotional than last year. And so staying the course and doing the work and chunking away at it a little bit at a time. But because I'm focused on driving and the weather's not that great, I also wanted to call because Harry was really having some strong emotional feelings come up, and he wanted to share.
Hey,
wait,
hold on.
Okay.
Hello.
Hey, Harry, welcome.
Hi.
Loud and clear. How can we support
okay.
you?
Yeah, I got something I want to say. It came on my mind about 10 minutes ago, okay, for my parents, I say, we give to each other, we win with each other, we have with each other, and we do for each other, for each, I'll say it, and forevermore, amen. It does so.
Well, I join you in that, Harry. That's awesome. That's a great way to say it.
Huh? I can't hear.
I'd say that's a powerful way to say it, and we join with you in that, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, well, we hold the space. With you driving, Michelle, we certainly want to tie you up on the phone, and you'd be safe as you travel through that weather. We're still pretty well, cloudy skies here, but no rain yet, so.
Yeah,
we're going to get our van unloaded before it starts to rain in Pinckney to get unloaded for the intensive. So.
I can't hear him like that.
Michael, you know what? It's real hard to hear you. So we'll just keep listening to the show and check in with you later when we get a better connection.
Okay, blessings and love. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
So we're down to about 9 minutes. And if anybody's got a question.
We do have a caller with their hand up.
Great.
Area code 517, you're on the air. Who do we have? I'm assuming you're calling from Michigan, being 517.
Well, and you got to know my number by now, Jeannie.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, Rex. Sorry about that.
I knew you didn't recognize it. It was an accident when I – it was one of those accidents. An accident when I hit the button. I was plugging in my phone into my new supercharger and plugging Mitzi's phone in. And so I actually bumped Mitzi's thing, and it said, "You are now in the host cube." And that's not what I was trying to do. But it was interesting because right when I was doing it, I was thinking, oh, wow, I am so excited and also impressed with this wonderful woman that just shared a little bit ago and how she's just so naturally and organically was willing to go into that space. And whether she was consciously aware of it or not, but that's just a powerful place to really that deeply with that moment in time when all of us, to one degree or another, have given up and given away our awareness to the one, you know, to the Creator. And it just was so nice to hear somebody just naturally talk about it without being solicited or, processed, pulled to that place. It was really cool. So that was my input. I just really think it's wonderful, and I think it's reflective of what you were talking about as well, that we are moving into a much more open processing and healing level, I think, in all of humanity, and that's what I'm holding out for. And I think it's been reflected in these little pockets, you know, in this pocket of this wonderful person calling in and saying, oh, yeah, by the way, I remember vividly when I had this happen and I was an infant. And it's like, and just open that up and talking on a program. And obviously she's done a lot of work. But it was just beautiful to hear. So I think for me, it was just exciting, and it is exciting. It's reassuring, and knowing that, you know, the work that each of us are doing individually is also helping and supporting collectively. So that was pretty much it. I didn't really have a question. I just had a statement and just an acknowledgement for her and for the work she's doing, and stay with it. It's awesome.
Fabulous, and we certainly appreciate the fact that you and Mitzi put us up and support us for this last, what have we been there, 10 days, 11 days? It's been awesome, and we'll look forward to seeing you on Tuesday when you drop by the intensive in Pinkney.
Sounds great. Well, I'm going to listen in. I'm going to go back on mute, but and thank you for, again, all the work that everybody's doing, but it was especially wonderful to hear her sharing about that moment in time, and it's just powerful place to be. So thank you.
All right. And I think the big piece that she offers us there too is the willingness, just to be in that willingness to receive and shift her mind to be able to hear that her issue is about her issue. It's not about somebody else. It's not what anybody else did. And, you know, it's monumental. That's the kind of thing that's going to open the space on an energetic world level for the world to be healed. And, you know, that's what we're here to do, is to bring that healing forward. So, fabulous. 646-200-4169 is our calling number. We've got about, maybe 5 minutes left. So we got time for a question, if anybody's got one out there, and you push one. Or, Jeannie, is there anything in the chat room?
No, like I said, it's kind of strange. Usually there's several people out there, and today it's just Peacemaker, and he's holding down the fort and doing all kinds of chatting, and occasionally I'm popping in and saying something back to him, but not a whole lot. So he's really hanging in there, and I appreciate that. I told him, I said, I'm multitasking in a meeting and trying to eat lunch at the same time, and through the switchboard, and I'm not doing very well at chatting. So, but we did have a hand just now go up, and it's area code 810. You're on the air. Who do we have, and where are you calling from?
Yes, hi, it's Gail, and I'm calling from Lum, and I actually have two things. One, I really think...
Where are you calling from, Gail?
Excuse me?
Where are you calling from?
Lum.
Oh, okay.
And... first of all, I did a bunch of worksheets yesterday, and it was really interesting. My dog, she's a puppy, and she was just horrible the day before. I mean, she ran off a couple times, and I was not in a good space that day at all. And yesterday, after I did all the worksheets, she was so calm, and she's been calm ever since. And I thought, wow. And I just want to thank you for helping me touch into a couple things that I didn't have on my list, which were very helpful. And I also want to acknowledge Sunny, because she sounds like a different person on the show now than a year ago. So
She's really been doing some awesome work, hasn't she?
I didn't hear you, sorry.
I'd say she has really been doing some awesome work, hasn't she?
Yes, really. And Rex had shared with me, you know, when somebody does something really good, it's really good if you give them positive reinforcement. And I didn't always do that. And I've been doing that more even with my family, any little thing. And, you know, it makes a difference. So, yeah, I just want to acknowledge her and to thank you again, because I moved through some pretty big stuff yesterday that I've been working on for a long time and didn't realize where my blocks were. So thanks again.
Absolutely delighted. Thank you for saying thank you. And, of course, as Dr. Tim said yesterday, it's your work that makes a difference, and everybody who opens and does their work makes a huge contribution, not just to their own lives, but to everybody who is ready to move in the direction of another way of living at another level. And the idea of offering that acknowledgement, actually in our Laws of Living course, there's a practice that we call strength storming. And, you know, if you look at the Aramaic word humility, the Greeks taught us is, you know, groveling on the earth like a worm sort of thing. But in Aramaic, what it means is to look for and cooperate only with the good intentions or the highest and best in others. And when we have that humility, energetically, we change the dynamic of our whole lives. And so that's a pretty cool piece of information to have, I think.
I would agree. So thanks again.
All right. We hold you in a blessing, and that all is clear in your physiology, in your mind, in your emotions, and you just sail forward in aliveness.
Thank you.
Okay, listen, appreciate the call. And we're down to just the last minute or so, so I guess we'll just say that that hour has gone by quickly. We are going to have to close the show out, so we'll just invite you, if you're ready to tap into another level of your work, we'll be doing that intensive starting tomorrow night, Friday night. And our appreciation for everybody who steps in and does their work. And if you want to know more about the forgiveness process, of course, there are hundreds of hours on our website, whyagain.org, of radio shows where we've walked through. You know, we have seen a small piece of the processing that's done over the last 4 years on this show. So there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of radio shows you can go back to and download through. And if you click the bullseye on the page, on the home page, that will take you into a whole series of links. And the third link down will give you specifically a dozen or more radio shows where we've actually walked somebody through the forgiveness process. That's the core of everything we're doing. The process doesn't make sense to the mind at first, but once you start using it, it's absolutely monumental in what it does and what it shifts. So we're delighted that you're here to be with us, and please bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Introduce somebody else to the worksheet and walk them through it. And the most awesome gift you can give the world is to have the best year yet of your eternal life, and we join you in that.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.earthangelsradio.com. whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
Continuously, 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 continuously.